The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, warmer brother, hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we're going to have Kobe Dant aboard. He does tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're going to be taking a look at some of the early moves that we've been seeing in the transfer portal, recap all that we saw in the coaching carousel, what coaching moves really stand out to us, and just the fact that it did feel like there are a lot of teams that they did not strike out in the coaching carousel. They did a solid job of bringing in some good hires, so we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about just the landscape in general with all these transfers and just what some of these teams are going to be looking to do to be able to have some success for this upcoming season. Some of the characteristics that we do look for these successful teams, we'll be discussing that in segment number two. In the final segment, going to give you guys a recap of the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Thursday, and if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is by Twitter /XTimeline at JuniorNerds41. Keep in mind, Lurzy M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I know that I got a few of you guys asking me for, like, report card grades, what have you, on some of these teams with regards to the transfer portal, and I'm just going to take this first segment to say it's a little bit too early for this as of right now. I do think that these teams that are able to jump into the transfer portal and are able to pull some of these guys out early, like, I know the biggest team in question, I know that the most comments I was getting at was on Kansas, which I'm not necessarily overly high on AJ Starr. Maybe it's just me, but a guy that's going to be on school number 8 in 8 years, that's a little bit of a red flag. And while he was a nice go-to scorer for Wisconsin, he did see a drop-off in his three-point shooting as well. Now, I absolutely love the pickup of Riley Kugel, and I love the pickup of Steve Mayo. So it's not me just trying to bash Kansas. It's maybe me just being someone from the state of Wisconsin that sees AJ Soar. And you see the points, but it feels a little bit empty. Maybe that's just me again, but still, I do take a look at Kansas, and there's no doubt about it. They've had a nice transfer haul thus far, but as we know, we're right now in the middle of April. There is north of 1,740 guys in the transfer portal as of right now. You've got pretty much all 362 teams that in some way, shape, or form are going to be impacted in the transfer portal. Whether that be losing guys that they aren't going to be able to replace, whether that be bringing in a lot of guys. I mean, there's just a lot that is yet to be sorted out, so I'm not going to give out like any sort of report card grades. Like, if I were to look at it right now, yeah, Kansas is able to do a relatively solid job. If they don't do too many other moves here in the back half of the offseason, though, they're not going to get an A-plus grade with regards to the transfer portal. Yeah, right now they might be doing a solid job, but this is sort of like taking a test. you have like a 50 question test. You're through 15 questions and you've gotten a 14 out of 15. You've done a relatively solid job. That doesn't mean that you're going to be finishing up with an A. You need to still fill out the other 35 questions. And I feel that way about a lot of these teams as of right now, though. Thus far, relatively good start there with Indiana. If they could just get a shooter, they would be in good form as well. That's a team that has been impressing me in the transfer portal with regards to the name value, but it only has value if they add some shooting to it, because I do like the fact that they pick up Miles Rice. Umar Bala was one of the top guys out there in the transfer portal. But again, Indiana was doomed last year because they had a billion big men and they had no guards whatsoever. While Rice gives you one guard, you still need a few more in the transfer portal, especially one that could shoot. As for Miles Rice, he was a really good facilitator. He was able to be a very nice player over there at Washington State. You still need that outside shooting, though. So I think that that's a big way of going about it. I use this phrase quite a bit with regards to the college basketball offseason, and I'll use it once again. This is sort of the hunting and gathering stage. This is not the time to be making like sweeping evaluations about a team. This is not the time where I'm going to be putting out a way too early top 25. It's, in my opinion, just too early in the process because, like I was alluding to, 1,740 players entered into the transfer portal. We have fewer than 385 guys that have really made up their mind at this point. So you still have north of 1,400 guys that are still sitting there deciding what they're going to be doing in the transfer portal. Might have done the math wrong. I think it might be closer to 1,350 or so, but still, you've got north of 1,000 guys. They're out there in the transfer portal. And like I said, being able to build that camaraderie is nice. I don't know if there's too much of a difference, though, in committing on like April 19th versus like May 29th. I think that the point of no return is when you get to like late June, early July. Then you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball. We saw that with Kansas State last year. We saw that with Memphis last year, Washington. These teams are brought in guys in the transfer portal, like I would say after June. That's when you really saw things going downhill for them. But I do think that while getting off to a nice start is nice, your work is not quite done here, and that's why every single day I'll be with you guys on this podcast breaking it all down. So hopefully you guys appreciate that, and let's take a look at what we are all getting with regards to the transfer portal and just put a little bit of a bow around what we saw on the coaching carousel. We'll discuss all of that and so much more next with Kobe Dant of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Right here on Coast Coast with myself, Greg E. Stevenson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back to Lovey Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Suits with myself, Greg Apes Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast, and it is always great to have this man aboard as Kobe Dan. He does absolutely tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball, hosting this show/podcast, The College Experience. I know that on top of that, he, much like myself, loves a little bit of baseball, as he's turned into Pick Dundee with regards to the baseball season. I know that he's very enveloped with regards to all forms of spring/summer football as well. The CFL, the USFL, the XFL, every one of those leagues, he does a great job. If it's football out there on a field, he'll probably do a great job evaluating it. And you're able to follow my Twitter/X at TheKobeD altogether. And Kobe, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, Greg. Always a pleasure. Yeah, in the offseason, you know, it's MLB, college baseball, and spring football, just searching for anything, you know, searching for anything until basketball and football season really start back up. Obviously, college basketball has been a little different than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, no doubt about it. 10 years ago, I would not be able to do this podcast daily. I'd probably be putting out my just initial picks for every conference in like August, September, and we would have a good time with it. But now it has become a round-the-clock sport. And just how have you been evaluating what we've been seeing in the transfer portal thus far? Because we've seen a few guys come off the board, but as I refresh verbal commits, there's 1,740 players in the transfer portal, and we joked about this off-air, but I don't know how much of a joke it is at this point, in which I feel like it would be easier to make a list of guys not transferring than guys that are in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's good for the game. I mean, I kind of still think the game is going to be fine. I'm not one of these people that thinks like the sky is falling, but I don't really have a problem when you have the coach leave. There was a lot of coaching changes this year, and I'm okay with a lot of those, but then there were some head scratchers. Like, and this is the thing, it's like when that West Virginia ruling went in December, I think it was, now two times, three times, doesn't matter how many times you transferred, you can transfer and go to another school. So we had to brace for it being chaotic, and it's certainly been chaotic. And then there's been ones that guys that haven't transferred that you sit there and say, wow, okay, Jeremy Roach is going to leave Duke. I did not see that one coming. Same with Mitchell leaving Duke. And I think those are ones where you're just like, okay. Or how about Aiden Mahaney from St. Mary's? I didn't think he would leave. So I'm not surprised on a lot of them, but there's certainly been a decent amount of ones where I've been a bit surprised.
Yep, it absolutely is surprising to watch some of these guys that you thought they were just very much enveloped in their program. Like you mentioned, Jeremy Roach over at Duke deciding to go into the transfer portal. And I'm not sure how you evaluate this, but I think the teams are in the stickiest spots are the teams that are currently having guys that are either transferring to them or guys are in the NBA draft and are unsure whether or not they're going to come back to school. Like, I look at a school like Alabama, for example. Mark Sears is going through the NBA draft process. I feel like he's a little bit of an on-the-fence guy, and I think that puts a school like Alabama in the toughest spot because it makes them decide, do we want to go out there and put our chips in the basket of Mark Sears coming back, or do we want to pick up a guy in the portal knowing that we might have just a little bit of overflow with regards to the roster?
That makes it incredibly challenging, and you don't know who to trust. You probably got certain draft projections says, oh, he's going to make it as a, you know, 27th pick of the first round, and others that say, well, you know, he might be late second round. He probably want to come back and cash in at Bama again for another year. The game has just changed so much. You know, I almost think, you know, if you're a second round NBA pick, there's no guarantee to making the roster. Then you could be, you know, playing ball wherever, really. I almost think it makes sense to come back to college. I would even say, like, if you're a late first round draft pick, it makes sense to come back to college. Why take that risk? Get better, get paid for 1 year, especially if you're at Alabama or something. I'd understand it more if you were at LaSalle, where I don't know how their NIL collective is. But yeah, it makes it really tough for the coaches. I mean, and I saw Pringle hit the portal for Bama. It's chaotic. I don't know if there's a good system for it. I don't know. College athletics has always been where my heart is, but it's unorganized. It's always been unorganized. But I would say at this point, it's probably the most unorganized it's ever been. At the same time, I almost don't want structure because with too much structure comes more of a corporate model, which I think can be dangerous to the sport long term. But it is certainly chaotic right now. I think you make a great point. If I was a coach, I wouldn't want to be dealing with that. That would be the hardest spot. What Nate Oates is dealing with right there is probably one of the hardest spots. But he does get paid well to be in that spot, so I'm not going to complain too much.
He gets paid millions and millions of dollars, but man, it is very interesting, to say the least, to take a look on that front. As joining me on the show, we do have Kobe Dach. He does tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and he is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And it does feel like, in terms of coaching carousel, fortunately, things have slowed down. BYU was really able to put a stop to things as they were able to go into the market and they were able to pluck out a coach that wasn't at the college level, because if they were to try to pick off someone from like a mid-major level or something like that, then you'd be having more and more hoopla. Instead, it does feel like we get a nice little bit of a stop to things. So I think that is going to be very, very big moving forward. But just how did you take a look at this coaching cycle in general, knowing that we still have a few other small moves to be made? And just who do you think were some of the biggest winners in terms of all of this? Because I would say winners and losers, but I just don't feel like there were too many really bad coaching decisions this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were going to circle the one that seems interesting would be the BYU one that you just touched on, like bringing Kevin Young from the Phoenix Suns. I don't know about you, Greg, but I'm not a big fan of getting the NBA coach. Yeah, saw Juwan Howard not work out at Michigan. Chris Mullen didn't work out at St. John's. I mean, hell, you can go back to Clyde Drexler at Houston. or Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. And I know this isn't his alma mater. At least I don't think it is. I know he's from Salt Lake City, but I don't believe he went to BYU, if memory serves me correct. I thought he went to like Clayton State or something like that. I think if you're a BYU fan now, with the exception of the fact that he was from Salt Lake City, and I think he was assistant at Valley at one point, Utah Valley, that was a bit of the one where I'm like, I don't think they got better. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but that's one where I would say, yeah, to a lot of your stuff, I think a lot of teams ended up in better situations. Another one that I think would be interesting would be Washington State getting David Riley from Eastern Washington. I like David Riley, but Kyle Smith leaving, I think, is a big blow to the Cougs in the Pac-2 or the Pac, whatever you want to call their next conference. That's one where I don't know that they got better. This one's kind of off the radar, I feel like, but Ohio State's Jake Diebler, that's an interesting one to me because they could have got Dusty May probably. You ask yourself, I was impressed with Diebler, but I also wasn't super impressed, but I thought he did a decent job considering. Is it worth keeping Diebler as the interim after, you know, they fired Holtman when there were so many decent coaches, especially once the carousel really heated up? I mean, we saw Calipari go to Arkansas. If Ohio State could have gotten Calipari, if they had known that they wouldn't have to buy out $34 million and he just would have left, that would be interesting to me. What do you make of that? You know, I know you're supposed to ask me the questions, but I'm saying, what do you make of the Ohio State situation there?
Yeah, I think that it is a fascinating one with regards to Ohio State, just because I like the fact that Jake Diebler was really able to turn things around, and it puts you in a little bit of a tough spot because we've seen what's happened with Texas under Rodney Terry. I don't think he's done a terrible job with Texas, but at the same time, I feel like there should be a little bit of higher expectations for them, and Diebler was one of the top assistants in all of college basketball. There's no question about it. I do feel like if you're Ohio State, being able to take Diebler was a little bit more of the, and air quotes here, safe choice, because you're going to be able to retain a lot of the roster. But if you want to go for the home run, you probably want to go off the beaten path a little bit more. I'm not sure how you feel about this, but I do think that with Jake Diebler, you get a higher floor than most, but a lower ceiling as well.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, knowing the names that left for other jobs, and you know, we saw Andy Enfield leave USC for SMU. There were some head scratchers, but I do think, when you really think about the whole coaching cycle of new head coaches coming in on the power schools, the power conferences, not many got worse. I think you could make the case that Mark Pope to Kentucky could be worse, but they got off the hook for $34 million. So I don't think they're in a worse spot. If anything, I think the fact they didn't spend that money might put them at a better spot. But Calipari at Arkansas, is Calipari better than Musselman? I think you're happy if you're an Arkansas fan. Musselman to USC, I think you're happy if you're a USC fan. You know, SMU, I don't know why you fired Lanier, but I think it worked out for you because Enfield, I think, is a better coach than Lanier. And Lanier goes to Rice. I think if you're a Rice Owl fan, you're saying, hey, this works out. Well, who else? DeVries to West Virginia. I thought if you're a Mountaineer fan, you upgraded.
Vanderbilt.
I think Vanderbilt certainly upgraded on the coaching front. Now, if I was Mark Byington, I don't know that I would have taken that job. I think I might have waited one more year at JMU, but if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I think you certainly got better. Washington getting Danny Sprinkle. Really, the only one I would say is Washington State. That's one where, even though I like David Riley, I don't think they got better. I think they got worse.
Yeah, boy, bringing in David Riley, I feel like he's a solid coach, but at the same time, you just really can't replace what you've had the last few seasons under Kyle Smith and Nerdball, because I do feel like Kyle Smith is one of the most underrated coaches in the country.
100%. Yeah, I thought it was a great get for Stanford, especially as they joined the ACC. A couple other ones that I thought, you know, where you could make the case where, you know, Eastern Washington ends up getting Dan Munson from Long Beach State, formerly of Gonzaga. And I thought that's an upgrade. No disrespect to David Riley. I think he's a good coach, but I thought that was an upgrade. Obviously, Pat Kelsey upgrade at Louisville. St. Louis getting shirts, I thought was a huge upgrade as well. I guess that's where it gets tricky. You know, Graves going to Indiana State. I don't think you can say that's an upgrade. But like I said, if you stick to the power conferences, even Holtman to DePaul, it's very rare that I think your only cases you could actually make would be Pope to Kentucky, which I would push back because you got $34 million basically given back to you, essentially. And then, like we said, Washington State, the other one. I mean, what, there was Lutz also went to Oklahoma State, but I actually think that improved with the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, with Lutz, I know that a lot of people have been hating on that move, but I like what he's been able to do over the last few seasons. What he did over at Corpus Christi and then taking Western Kentucky to the NCAA tournament in season number one, that's pretty rock solid in my opinion. As joining me on the show, we do have Kobe Dan, who does absolutely tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And as we know, with so many of these hires, to be able to really make the most of it and maximize them, they are going to need to be able to scour the transfer portal. And we've already seen a few guys come off the board. It's been an interesting last few days. Kansas has been very active in the transfer portal. You knew that they were going to be after what happened this last offseason, where they brought in Hunter Dickinson, and then they just had pretty much four other guys out there on the court with them as well. And when you saw the injury to Kevin McCullough, it was doomsday for them. But how do you take a look at just some of the moves that we've seen in the transfer portal thus far and some of the teams that have been able to claim some of these guys? Because I do feel like the teams that strike early always put themselves in a little bit of a better spot to be able to build chemistry and just set themselves up for success for the upcoming season.
Now, I mean, obviously, I think there's a lot of intangibles there. But obviously, I think Kansas and Indiana have kind of been the schools to really make the big headlines. I guess you could maybe throw Georgetown. They got a couple of decent guys there. But those two stand out to me as the ones that have made the headlines. And I do think there is something to what you say of getting continuity. If anything, that's why I think just comparing the game to 10 years ago, we've seen so many 15 and 16 seeds win over the past couple of years, really the past 5-6 years, I feel like. A lot of that is because you can go out in the portal, address a weakness to your team. I really feel like the 15 and 16 seeds today are much better than 20 years ago. Having said all that, I do think it's unfortunate because some of these mid-majors are losing their top guy. You saw with Max Asemus leaving to Texas a year ago, scattered throughout with Zeke Mayo leaving for Kansas was a critical blow to South Dakota State. But I would say the Jayhawks really answered the call, getting AJ Store and then bringing in Mayo from the Jackrabbits there. I'm curious to see if they do more. They did strike out a year ago to me, even with the Dickinson one. I don't think that they spent their money correctly. I think that kind of blew up in their face. That's going to be fascinating to watch to see what they do. Bill Self talked about this in a press conference, like towards the end of the year. He's like, I've been thinking about it for a month. And then I think Ed Cooley at Georgetown, you know, Malik Mack from Harvard, I think was a huge get.
Yes.
And he also got Micah Peavy. I still think he needs to do work. He's got to do more work. But those three teams, really, Indiana obviously getting Balo from Arizona. But I don't trust Mike Woodson, really. I know that Indiana is bringing in a talented team. They brought in Rice from
Washington State.
Yes, from Washington State. And you got to love those gets, but the question is has Mike Woodson proven to us that he's able to really win with the Hoosiers? I don't know that he's really proven to us that he has. I do appreciate their NIL collective stepping up. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure after seeing the Boilermakers just go to the national championship, but I think it's a huge year for Woodson. I was surprised he got extended, but certainly I do think, back to your original question, was I think there's an advantage to getting out there early and getting your players intact, but and getting your team intact. But it's going to be fascinating. There's still so many good players. Like, just looking at it, and every day I feel like, you know, I saw Tyrese Hunter enter the portal. And you still have, you know, the likes of John L. Davis and those Duke players I alluded to. Pop Isaacs hit the portal. Like, there's a lot of good players. TJ Bomba I saw hit the portal. So there's so many good players out there still. It might be different than years past, but I do think based on the last 5-6 years, I do think there is an advantage to getting your team earlier. But I've also never seen this many players in the portal.
Yeah, I'm sure that when we're all said and done, we are going to be north of 2,000 players in the transfer portal. There is going to be a lot to decipher. And Kobe, I know you, much like myself, are doing your level best of being able to try to be able to decipher it all, which is very, very much a labor of love. But I know you're doing a great job on so many different fronts. I alluded to it before. You're the main man when it comes to all forms of football during the spring months, as you do a great job on that front. You do amazing work just taking a look all across the board at college basketball. I know you're involved in some baseball as well. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. And I appreciate the time to even be able to promote that. I love your podcast. I was a fan of it ever before I met you. I'm grateful to be on the show. So I host the College Football Experience, the College Basketball Experience, the College Baseball Experience. Those are like that's our bloodline here. After that, I do have the UFL Gambling Podcast, the CFL Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast. So check out that. They're on VEASAN every Friday night. And previously, XFL and USFL. Pretty much if there's anything in the spring, we just dive into whatever we could find. You know, I'm making MLB plays. I don't host an MLB podcast, but we do have one, and I can't get enough of the action, you know, so I appreciate the platform. Excited for hoops next year, and I really can't wait to see where all these players end up. I was shocked. And hey, we didn't even talk about Jared Gillian leaving Chicago State for Long Island. We'll have to do that for another episode deep into the summer. But I appreciate the spot, Greg, and it's always a pleasure, man.
Oh, no doubt about it. That was a big move that we saw in the offseason as well. Old Gerald Gillian, he decides that he is going to be heading on over to Long Island. So now Chicago State is, they're actually going to be a part of a conference this year. They're left holding the bag just a little bit, but we always are never left holding the bag with Kobe Dan because he always delivers right here on this podcast, all sorts of great analysis. So big thanks to Kobe for joining me right here on Cusco Seats, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap of all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Thursday.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back.
to Love Me Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Kobe Dant. He does such good work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, taking a look at this sport that we all know and love. I know that he is hard at work taking a look at a little bit of everything that we are getting on this front. And every single time he joins this show, he lends such good insights trying to be able to decipher all that we are getting in this crazy game. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Thursday. Lots of portal moves happening as AJ Storr, he is going to be going on over to Kansas. This was one of the biggest moves that we saw. And how about this haul for Kansas? Now getting both AJ Storr along with Zeke Mayo, two guys that were top scorers at their respective programs. Now, both of these guys are probably going to need to take a little bit of a step back in terms of being that alpha dog scorer, depending upon how Kansas puts things together. But I do think that as long as they are able to keep DeJuan Harris in the fold, which I do think that they should be able to do so, that is going to be massive for them. AJ Storr, talk about a guy that has been all across the map. He played at four different high schools. He has spent time at two different universities. I think that he spent a year at a junior college. So I believe that this team is team number 8 in 8 years from, if you date it back to his high school years. But last year at Wisconsin, good go-to scorer with about 17 points, 4 boards per contest, but did see a little bit of a drop-off in his 3-point shooting when he was over at St. John's. Shot about 40% from 3 this past year, about 32% from the outside for a Wisconsin team that, and let's call it what it is, they were able to get some relatively good offense going, but defense left a little bit of something to be desired. At 6'6", he's a prototypical wing type with regards to his body, and I do think that he's going to be able to fit in relatively well with Kansas. I just always default to Bill Self being able to do a good job would be able to coach guys up. I do think that Kansas has learned from their mistakes from a season ago in terms of roster building, so I do think that this is going to work out for Kansas, and clearly they have been very active in the portal thus far. Josh Smith, he was playing this past season over in the Atlantic Sun for Stetson, was limited to 14 games due to injury. He has decided that he is going to be going on over to Liberty, prototypical Liberty type of guy. He's 6'8", that is able to pop threes. I can't say that he pops a ton of threes, but shot last year in the 14 games that he did play, he was a starter for most of it, shot 33% from the outside, 8.5 points, nearly 6 boards per contest. Doesn't excel at one thing, but does a lot relatively well, able to space the floor. I do think that this is going to be a relatively good ad for Liberty, so I do like what they are building over there. This is something that I don't think is overly unexpected. Eastern Washington's Lawan Watts, he has decided that he is going to be gone on over to Washington, so Danny Sprinkle trying to be able to recruit the Big Sky where he used to coach a few seasons ago, and for Lawan Watts, relatively solid year this past year over at Eastern Washington, as he was a Big Sky Rookie of the Year. Probably a little bit more of a developmental piece. I don't think that he's going to be able to step into Washington right away, be able to see massive minutes out there in the Big Ten, but at 6'6", last season, shot 40% from 3, 9.5 points, 5 boards, and a little bit of a higher level. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be able to play right away, as he was legitimately coming off the bench in the Big Sky, but that said, I do think that this is someone that, like, 2 to 3 years from now, is going to be able to make an impact, and here in the early goings, I do think that he could be able to provide just a little bit of a change of pace in general. We have seen quite a few moves for Duke with having a few guys enter into the transfer portal in Jeremy Roach, along with TJ Power. TJ Power, a little bit more in the background this last season because with Roach, last few seasons, he has been just a flamethrower scorer, and I do believe that Roach is involved in the NBA draft process as well. Power, as of right now, it appears, is not. He was a former top 30 recruit, though, and last season, when he got minutes, he wasn't too bad, shot about 36% from three-point range, 2 points per contest. Only saw about 7 minutes per game, didn't enter in all games, but this could be another one of those guys that's a little bit out of sight, out of mind. If he finds a program that is willing to give him minutes, I am sure that there's going to be a lot of them out there. I think that that would be pretty massive for them. BYU having a little bit of an exodus with Mark Pope now being out of the fold, and for Ali Khalifa, with Mark Pope heading on over to the state of Kentucky, he is as well, but he's not going to be becoming a Wildcat. Instead, he is heading on over to Louisville, and I do like the job that is currently being done over at Louisville as they bring in Pat Kelsey, and he's looking to be able to run that same style that he did over at Charleston. For Khalifa, he was able to dole out like 3+ assists per contest over at BYU. At 6'11", he's able to pop threes. Not a guy that is necessarily going to be ripping off a whole bunch of points. Even when he was over at Charlotte 2 seasons ago, he was only averaging about 10 or so points per contest, but he joins the likes of a Rain Smith, who is going to be following Kelsey on over to Louisville after he was playing at Charleston a season ago. So that's going to be a pretty big one for them. I know that they've already got Javon Headley along Terrence Edwards in the fold. Edwards was that top scorer over at James Madison. I like what is being acquired, and I like that it's being acquired quickly, so this way they are able to learn that Pat Kelsey system in the offseason, and I do think that this is a very good fit. So that is one that I did like to see from Thursday. This is going to be an interesting move, as well as we do have in the transfer portal now, Fred Paulus Begetis. He was over at UT Arlington this last season. A little bit of an interesting big guy. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be lighting the world on fire or anything like that, but I do think that there's going to be a little bit of flexibility and versatility to be had with him. He stands right in the neighborhood of about 6'8". I know that he began his career over at Georgia Tech, just was unable to get out there on the floor in general, capable of being able to pop some threes. As at UT Arlington, career 43% three-point shooter, so we shall see what is going to be happening there. And Jabuzo Agbo, he last season was playing over at Boise State. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. Was a nice spot-up shooter this last two seasons for Boise State. This last year, 13.5 points per contest, shot 41% from three and about 5.5 threes per contest, able to give you 5 boards per contest. A little bit of a black hole sort of player. When you pass him the ball, it's probably not coming back out, but at 6'7", he is able to pop it from three-point range. Very nice offensive player that fit in really well with the Boise State defense that was one of the best at being able to guard the perimeter in all of college basketball as well, so I do think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him, and this bunch was in on Colin Holloway. How about him heading on over to old Sam Iamford? And I think that this is a textbook perfect fit. Tulane was one of the most up-tempo teams in all of college basketball this last season, and for Sam Iamford, they're looking to absolutely run it and gun it. For Holloway, he was able to log about 13 points, 4.3 boards on 34% three-point shooting. It shot a little bit better the season before, but I do like his overall skill set at right around 6'6". He's able to run the floor relatively well. Would like to see him be a little bit better on defense in order for him to be a fit at Samford. He is going to need help. Generate a few turnovers, that's a little bit of a lifeblood of this program, but that said, I do think that this is going to be one that pans out for old Sam Iamford. I do think that this one is going to be able to pan out as well. You've got Devon Barnes, he was over at Sam Houston State this last season. He is heading on over to Ole Miss, and for Barnes, he's really been one of those guys that has worked his way up. He was the top scorer over at Texas Southern 2 seasons ago with about 13.5 points per contest. This past year at Sam Houston State, worked on his 3-point shot while he was over at Texas Southern. He only shot about 27.5% from 3. This past year, shot 39% from 3, was able to give the team 13.5 points per contest. I really like the way that he's been able to really rework his game, and this is just another one of these guys that fits into the style of Chris Beard. He was able to play some tough, tenacious defense while he was over at Texas Southern this last year. Over at Sam Houston State, it's a little bit different than they were a few seasons ago, but still a team that was relatively mid-tempo. They forced him to be versatile. He was able to be versatile, and for Ole Miss, I feel like their recruiting haul thus far has been relatively solid. They bring in Malik Dia, someone that's able to pop threes at 6'9" from Belmont. Dre Davis is a nice spot-up scorer, and Mikel Brown-Jones, I feel like, is one of the most underrated players that entered into the transfer portal, so really like what Ole Miss is building right now, and it appears as though they are very much on the up-and-up as well. You've got Paulus Mukaskis, hopefully I said that correctly, a little bit of an international man of mystery. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over from Arizona to St. Mary's. Legitimately was unable to see really a whole heck of a lot of playing time whatsoever, but as we know with St. Mary's, they've got a little bit of an international pipeline, and we've seen quite a few of these international men of mystery that have entered into the Arizona program just be really, really good in general. You only saw about 2.5 points per contest, shot over 51% from 3-point range this last season, but obviously on a very, very small sample size. But I do think that if St. Mary's is able to implement him in the system, be able to get him to play some tough, tenacious defense, he is going to be a very, very good ad for them. Ricardo Wright, one of those ancillary scorers over at SMU this last season, he is now going to be in the transfer portal as well. And for SMU, obviously you're going to be seeing a lot of movement with this team. They hire on Andy Enfield in the offseason, but with Ricardo Wright, he was able to emerge a little bit this past season. Began his career out in the Metro Atlantic over at Marist. He averaged about 6.5 points per contest, shot 37% from 3-point range at about 6'4". There should be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him. And if he decides that he's going to be going to like a little bit of a lower level, I think that he could be able to come in right away and be able to tear it up. AJ Smith was one of the top scorers this past season over at the Citadel, and he is heading to the College of Charleston. I do think that Chris Mack is going to be able to win sooner rather than later at College of Charleston, and I do think that this is going to be a solid add for them. AJ Smith was a part of a Citadel team that really slowed it down over the last few seasons, and for AJ Smith, you take a look at what he was able to bring to the table for the Citadel team. He was a nice double-figure scorer that was able to light it up from three-point range. Though the team played slowly, it's not as if they were like absolutely amazing on defense or anything like that, but 16 points per contest on about 35.5% three-point shooting, that's going to play, and I do think that College of Charleston is very far from done, and I do think that Chris Mack is very much on his way to be able to get things turned around over there. You saw Deshaun Montgomery. He was over at Mount St. Mary's this past season. He's going to be heading on over to Georgia, as this is the second straight year that Georgia plucks someone from the Metro Atlantic, and hopefully they are able to have this one pan out the way that they did a season ago, as they brought in Noah Thomason, who was a top scorer over at Niagara. He became one of their top guys as well. He and Jabri Abdul-Rahim were very good as a tandem, and for Montgomery this last season, 13 points per contest. He was the MAC Rookie of the Year, the MAAC Rookie of the Year, while being able to shoot about 41% from three-point range. Again, I do think that it's going to take him a little bit of time to be able to just find his footing in the SEC. It's a big giant jump that he's taking going from the Metro Atlantic over to the SEC. That said, I do think that it's a jump that he is going to be able to do relatively well, and I do think that this is one that's going to be panning out for Georgia. Question is that going to be happening this year, or is that going to be happening a little bit further down the line? Dante Maddox, he was one of the top scorers over at Toledo this past season. He has decided that he is going to be joining Xavier, and this Xavier haul is tremendous. Something that's a little bit out of sight, out of mind for them. The fact that Zach Fremantle, who missed all of last season, he is going to be back in the fold, so that's pretty much a transfer portal pickup. John Ugly has been able to step out, be able to shoot some threes. A former top scorer over at Pittsburgh is in the fold. You pick up the Furman top scorer in Marcus Foster. I am very impressed by what is happening over at Xavier right now with Maddox this last season. 15.5 points, 3 assists per contest while shooting 40% from three-point range for a Toledo team that was one of the better offensive teams in all of college basketball. Now, with Xavier, defense is always a little bit of a roll of the dice, and Dante Maddox is probably not going to be winning any like gold stars or anything like that for his defense, but that said, if you're looking for a Xavier team that a season ago, they were just down a little bit in terms of their three-point shooting. They were down in terms of the amount of points that they were able to score. I think that this is a good way for them to be able to get back to happy. Anwar Gill, he last season was playing over at LaSalle. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Howard. And Howard, out of these teams out there in the MEAC, has, in my opinion, really done the best job in the transfer portal. We saw them get Seth Towns a season ago. Anwar Gill, not necessarily the master of anything, but he just does a lot of things well and can be that prototypical just Swiss Army knife guy out there in a MEAC where I don't think a lot of guys are going to be able to guard him. I think that he is going to be able to go into the MEAC and tear it up. 9.5 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. Never has been a great 3-point shooter. A career 28% 3-point shooter, so that is not necessarily his game, but he's going to be able to make such an impact out there in a MEAC where guys just really don't shoot it well from three-point range in general. So I do think that he's going to be able to go to that level. I think that he's going to be able to have a lot of success. I do think that Josh Corbin is going to be able to have a lot of success as well this past season. He was playing over at Robert Morris, and he's decided that he is going to be heading on over to UNC Wilmington. Now, the concern that you do have for UNC Wilmington is that the defense was relatively optional, and over at Winthrop and Robert Morris for Corbin wasn't necessarily some sort of a lockdown defender, but this past season, 13.5 points on 36.5%. 3-point shooting for Robert Morris while doling out about 3 assists per contest. He's become a more willing passer throughout his just college career in general for UNC Wilmington. They last season were very much built around just so much versatility in general, and just the fact that they were able to turn the ball over such a few amount of times, and that's really been Wilmington last few seasons. The one thing that they've really been able to excel at, being able to take care of the ball. I do think that they are going to be able to do that once again. I do think that Corbin is going to be a part of the solution, as he was on a Robert Morris team that they turned the ball over quite a bit this past season, but it wasn't really due to himself. It was due to the schlubs around him, so we shall see what is going to be happening there, and we are seeing Cleveland State trying to be able to build a little bit more of a backcourt as Taj Savosky. He was pretty much out for the entirety of the season over at Canisius. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over there. Played just 2 games this last season over at Canisius, but if you take a look at what he did 2 seasons ago, 2022-23 campaign was one of the better guards out there in the Metro Atlantic. 12.5 points, 3 assists per contest. Is a career about 31% 3-point shooter, and that's much of the game of Cleveland State. Cleveland State is a bunch that they are looking to generate a lot of turnovers. They're looking to be able to get some wide open layups. Not necessarily a team that's going to be lighting it up from 3-point range or anything like that, but I do think that he's going to be a rock solid fit there, and I do think that for Cleveland State. They've done a nice job over the last few seasons of being able to build themselves up in the transfer portal. I think that this is going to be big for them. I think what is going to be big for Wisconsin is how they attack the transfer portal, as it looks like they're going to be losing Chucky Hepburn. They already lost Connor Asesian, so if they were looking to pass the torch from Hepburn to Asesian, that's not going to be happening. But for Hepburn, 9 points, 4 assists per contest, shot 40% from three-point range, a perennial starter for Wisconsin. But I can tell you, as someone from the great state of Wisconsin, just a little bit befuddling in general what we did see out of that team, as it just felt like time and time again, you're just expecting a little bit more from them when you just thought that you were out on Chucky Hepburn, he would be just good enough and he would do just enough to pull you back in. And then whenever you had any expectations whatsoever, they would just go straight down the toilet bowl. That is just the life of being a Wisconsin sports fan. And I think the biggest thing for Hepburn, as I'm alluding to, consistency. If he could be a little bit more consistent, he could be an impact guy. Joey Hart, he was pretty much a walk-on over at Kentucky. He has decided that he is going to be going on over to Ball State. And a lot of these walk-ons, oftentimes they do go to a little bit of a lower level and they're able to excel. I can't say that I know a ton about Joey Hart, but the fact that you're Ball State and you pick up a guy that last season was over at Kentucky, that's a win for you. And this is a big giant win for Grand Canyon. They have done a great job in the portal in recent years. Jacoby Coles, who was over at TCU this last season, he is going to be heading on over to Grand Canyon, was able to put up some nice numbers over at TCU. 10 points, 4 boards per contest. I don't think that he's going to be quite what we saw out of Tyon Grant Foster, where he was just able to light it up, but he's got a really nice skill set. And for TCU, they've lost quite a few guys here in the offseason. We were talking about it with Kobe Dant, the fact that Micah Peavy is out of the fold, so they're going to need to do some retooling. But for Grand Canyon, they just keep on doing a nice job in the portal, picking up these guys that are very versatile. They're able to check all the boxes, and I do think that this is going to be one that is going to be panning out very, very well for them. We are starting to see a little bit of the exodus from so many of these guys on teams that had coaching changes in the offseason. Jaden Schertz, I believe that is the son of Josh Schertz. He is in the transfer portal. Would not doubt it if he had it on over to St. Louis. I believe that he was a walk-on. Quincy Allen, he was a little bit of an ancillary piece over at James Madison. As we know, James Madison going through a little bit of a coaching search. He is out in the transfer portal as well. And then we saw Rito Chaluin. Hopefully I said that correctly. He was over at Washington State. Really didn't see a lot of playing time. He has decided that he is going to be going on over to Florida. And for Florida, they just love adding big men. He was able to log about 4.5 points, 5 boards per contest. So a relatively solid rebounder for Washington State. Not necessarily an impact guy on offense, but I think that this could be good for Florida, because Florida was a rock solid offense this last season. They did a nice job on the boards. They just did not do a good job of defending at all. And if you can maybe trade off a little bit of that scoring for just a little bit of better defense in general, I think that that could be a very good thing for them. And Washington State, very rock solid with their defense. So going to be interesting to see what happens there. We did see Max Shulga. He was really the heart and soul of VCU this last season and really the main constant for them. He has decided that he is going to be entering the transfer portal. You have to figure that darn near everyone is going to be in on Max Shulga after he was able to put up double figures this last season on a team that they just kept on having guy after guy after guy get hurt. He still shot 41% from three-point range, 4.5 boards, 3.5 assists per contest. So this is going to be a big one out there in the portal. And I do think that if you're any sort of team that needs a guard, Max Shulga should be one of your top targets. And this is a guy that I think is interesting as well. Zarik Phelps, he was over at SMU this last season. He has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. Good numbers, 15 points, 4 boards, 3 assists per contest. He really doesn't give you a lot from the outside, though. A career 26% three-point shooter. Last year shot just 21.5% from three-point range. You need a system that's curtailed a little bit less to three-point shooting. You need a team that drives it to the rim a little bit more, a team that is going to just have a lot of shooters around him as well. But if you can find that system for him, Phelps is a really good defender. Phelps does a really nice job of being able to dole out the ball. It's going to be interesting to see what the prospects are for him, because if you're able to find the right landing spot for him, I think that this could be absolutely tremendous. If you don't find the right landing spot for him, this could be a case where it's not going to be necessarily the world's greatest result for either the team that picks him up or for Mr. Phelps himself. One of the more under-the-radar guys in the transfer portal as of right now for me is Tyler Harris. He decided that he was going to be making this move on Thursday. He was playing this last season over at Portland and put up some good numbers while he was at Portland. He gave you about 12.5 points per contest. He was able to step out, pop a few threes as a true freshman. He racked up about 7.5 rebounds per game. He was on the WCC all-freshman team while being able to shoot about 36% from three-point range. So I'm very fascinated to see where he is going to be going, as I do think that this is going to be a big get for whoever's able to land him. And then Justin Wright. He was Mr. Wright over at Loyola Maryland this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going to UNC Asheville, and I think that this is a good gift for them. He spent his first three seasons over in the state of North Carolina over at NC Central, and this past season he saw a fall off with his three-point shooting. When I was at NC Central last two seasons, shot 40%+ from three-point range, and during the 2022-23 campaign, when he was over at NC Central, logged 16 points, 5 boards, 2.5 assists per game while shooting 41% from three. He was still solid at Loyola Marymount. He was a part-time starter. They dealt with a lot of injuries, but just 11 points and about 2 assists per contest, so he's going to be looking to get back to happy. And if you want a man that is happy, Kenny Payne to be having once again a job. He's going to be joining John Calipari as his associate head coach. I have to wonder if the Payne train has decided that he is going to try to learn from the mistakes from a few seasons ago. And I do think that Kenny Payne could be able to develop into a little bit of a better coach than what we saw at Louisville. And I think that that's a big thing to take a look at as well with regards to coaches, because much like the way that players are able to turn a corner, coaches are able to as well. And for Kenny Payne, if he had started out at, say, like a mid-major school or something like that, perhaps he would have been able to have a little bit of success. But he has stuck a guy with no coaching experience into that situation. We can talk about the bad job that Kenny Payne did till the end of time, and he did not do a good job. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not totally his fault, though. He just should have never been given the job to start with. He should have been able to start at a little bit of a lower level. So it's going to be interesting to take a look at on that front. And then we did see Sam Silverstein. He was playing for Harvard. He has decided that he is going to be going to Cal Baptist. He is going to be becoming a part of the old Lancers, as he was able to, during the 2022-23 season, log about 7.5 points per contest, 5.5 boards, 1.2 steals per game. Wasn't necessarily an overwhelming guy, but you know what? He's a very versatile guy at 6'6" that I do think provides a little bit of upside for this Cal Baptist Lancers team, but did not play all of last season. That was due to a combination of injuries, a little bit of stuff that was going on off the court as well. So could be interesting to see how he tries to be able to reacclimate himself. These guys are going to try to get acclimated perhaps to the NBA, as you've got Reed Sheppard, who is declaring for the NBA draft. He is not going to be maintaining his eligibility, and I mean, this is a right move for Reed Sheppard. He has a good chance of being able to get into the NBA draft lottery. For Sheppard, he was, in my opinion, the lone guy for Kentucky that was really playing defense this last season. 12.5 points, 4 boards, 4.5 assists, shot darn near 52% from 3-point range while logging 2.5 steals per game. This is about as weak as it gets with regards to the NBA draft. Reed Sheppard, as a result, he's going to be able to maximize here, so I absolutely do think that this is the correct move. He and his family have a lot of ties to the Kentucky program, but that said, he went from being a guy that was right around about 35th in terms of a lot of the recruiting rankings to being able to just skyrocket up the board. This is the right move, and Alex Caravan has decided that he is going to be intending to enter into the NBA draft. He's going to be maintaining his eligibility, though, and I really like Alex Caravan. If he comes back to UConn, he should be, in my opinion, one of, if not their future guys. Like, at 6'8", he does it all. He's awesome. 13.5 points, 5 boards. Took his over prop in terms of rebounds in the title game, and that paid off for us. So that was very nice to see, to say the least. But, I mean, he's able to shoot about 38% from 3-point range, 88.5% the free throw line at 6'8". So that's been very, very good for this UConn team. And I mean, for Dusty May, he hires on Mike Boynton as an assistant as well. We recall what he was able to do over at Oklahoma State. I think that that is going to be able to do a nice job of helping them out moving forward as well. So that is something that I'm going to be taking a look at too. And he also saw AJ Smith. He was playing over at Southern Indiana this last season. He has decided that he's going to be transferring to James Madison. It's going to certainly be a new dawn and a new day for James Madison. It's hard to be moving on after you had all the just explosive production that you were able to last season from this program, and you're going to have to turn the page from having Mark Byington doing an absolutely tremendous job with this program. But that said, AJ Smith is a good place to start. Top rebounder for Southern Indiana, 13.5 points, 8.5 boards, able to pop threes at 6'6", not necessarily the world's greatest three-point shooter, shot 28% from distance in his two seasons on campus at Southern Indiana, and that's at the D1 level. Southern Indiana was at the 91 level a little bit as well, and I believe that he was on the program prior to that as well. But I do think that this is going to be a solid gift for a James Madison team that I'm just curious to see what you're going to be able to get out of them moving forward, just because I do think that it's going to be quite a culture shock for this team, not having Byington in the fold. This is a man that was very productive out in the Big South this past season. Trey Barneau, he was at USC Upstate this last season, logged 14 points, 3.5 assists, 4 boards per contest, a relatively solid 3-point shooter. He is going to be transferring to Rice, and Rice has been one of those teams that I've been very impressed with here in the offseason. We were talking about it with Kobe Dant, the fact that Rice was able to pretty much go rear-end first into being able to get Rob Lanier, who was coaching over at SMU, which I don't feel like Rob Lanier should have gotten the boot. At the same time, they managed to luck into being able to get Andy Enfield, so I guess it paid off for them in the end, but with this Rice team, they've done a nice job of being able to sack a little bit of talent. They're clearly going after a lot of these mid-major guys that have a little bit of a known track record, like Barneau. He was able to be a starter for multiple years over at USC Upstate. I do think that he does fit in the Lanier style, and if there was a knock on Lanier, he didn't have a lot of three-point shooting. He brings in a guy like a Trey Patterson. He didn't see a lot of minutes at Villanova, but was a very highly touted guy coming out of high school, Kellen Amos. He was a nice go-to scorer over at Central Connecticut State. Again, Kellen Amos, not a guy that lit the world on fire with regards to his three-point shooting or anything like that, but I do think that that's going to be fitting that system as well. Love what Rice is building. I do think that sooner rather than later, they're going to be able to get better, and then we did see a inside the conference transfer in the Big Ten as Eli Rice, a season ago, was playing over at Nebraska, and he's going to be heading on over to Penn State. For Penn State, certainly was a little bit of a surprising season for them last year. I honestly thought that the fall off with Micah Shrewsbury was going to be a little bit worse than what it was. I do think that it's going to be very key for Mike Rhodes to be able to find guys that fit his style. And for Eli Rice this past season over at Nebraska, he was able to shoot about 37% from three, logged about 4.5 points per contest. Can't say that I saw a lot from him defensively as Nebraska. They were very hit or miss on that side of things, but I do think that he's going to be able to give this team a nice ability to be able to knock down some shots. We saw Penn State really go through some frustrations last season because they did have their top scorer in Kanye Cleary essentially get kicked off the team. And after that Cleary situation, they honestly played a little bit better. So going to be interesting to see how they build off of that. And then you saw Francis Nworke. He was playing over at UC San Diego this past season. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Loyola Chicago. For Loyola Chicago, it's very clear that they're prioritizing some forwards. They bring in Jalen Deloach as well. He began his career over at VCU last season. Was a solid but not great player over at Georgia. And for Nworke, 11.5 points, right around 5.5 boards, shot 34% from three at 6'7". That's really the Loyola Chicago way. Being able to bring in these guys that are 6'6", 6'7", do a little bit of everything to stuff the stat sheet. And I do think that he's going to be able to do that. And we are going to be looking to stuff the stat sheet and your pockets this season with a whole bunch of winners. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to Kobe Dan. He does tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He joined me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and off season. And I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.